waves crash against a rocky cliff. A large mansion sits on top of the cliff. Surrounded by trees, a blonde woman walks through the house. She enters a room and approaches a piano. Title, V.C. Andrews Dawn, Part 4, Midnight Whispers.
I can't believe I'm going to be 16. It's hard to believe Mom was only a year older when she had me. She runs Cutler's Cove like clockwork. The hotel, me, my brother Jefferson, and my stepdad Jimmy are her whole world.
She sits at the piano.
She seems happy. She doesn't like to talk about her past, like how she had wanted to be a singer on Broadway. I want to make her proud. I will play at Carnegie Hall one day. It will be me who becomes a star.
A woman enters the room.
Sweetheart. Christy.
Christy looks up.
Brunch has been served.
Can I have 20 more minutes, please?
Come on. Your audition for the showcase is in a month. Your birthday brunch is right now. And we don't mess with family tradition.
Okay.
Aunt Betty and the twins are here to help set up for the party.
They walk down a hallway and approach a man and a boy.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Oh, man, Christy.
What?
The man grabs her hand.
Your fingers are...
What?
Turning into piano keys.
Daddy, stop. Dad.
Look what I have.
A woman brings a cake.
That is so beautiful. Thank you so much.
Can we eat it now?
Not yet. A toast first, Jeffers.
Yes.
The dad grabs glasses of champagne and hands one to the woman and Christy.
Really?
The woman shrugs.
A toast. Then we celebrate your sweet 16.
Her what?
A celebration of your sister's coming of age and the bright future she has ahead of her.
Cheers to that.
Cheers.
They all cheers and drink. Two employees speak to each other.
Pay attention. Important guests will be arriving soon. Your job is to ensure their every need is met.
A man pulls up in a convertible.
Ah, here comes Bronson Alcott. His wife, Laura Jean, Don's mother, recently passed away from a stroke. Tell room service he prefers our best bourbon.
Bronson gets out of his car.
Welcome back, Mr. Alcott.
Bronson tosses his keys to the hotel staff.
Trisha Wilson, this is Longchamp's best friend from her New York days, also a dancer on Broadway.
She arrives in a taxi, but Trisha pays the cabbie.
Tell the cook she eats no red meat and prefers half a grapefruit and dry toast for breakfast.
Patricia holds out her hand. The doorman takes it and leads her up the stairs. A man extends a kickstand on a motorcycle.
Gavin Longchamp, Mr. Jamie's half-brother, he'll be staying in the family house. We're also expecting his sister, Fern, who is a handful. Tell the valet to park the motorcycle around back, out of sight.
The doorman nods. Inside, Christy plays piano.
We need more chairs over here.
Okay, put some more pink balloons on each.
A woman speaks to two kids.
I hate pink. I want to help.
Jefferson.
No, you can't. You're too stupid to help us.
The two other kids walk away. Jefferson watches them go. His face falls. Mrs. Boston approaches Christy at the piano.
Your mother wants you back at the house to get ready.
In a concrete hallway, Philip exits a room. He locks the door. A sign reads, private. Do not enter. Employees only.
What are you hiding, Philip?
Aunt Betts walks down the hallway and twists the doorknob. Later, Christy's mother, Dawn, joins her in her bedroom. They wear dresses.
You nervous?
No.
Christy.
I know the music by heart.
Not about the song. We practice that to death. This is your...
They sit on a bed.
Coming out party. It's exciting.
Coming out. What does that even mean?
You've come of age. And now that you're grown, I think it's time that I tell you a few things about our family.
Oh,
Don't worry, Mom. Fern told me all about the crazy
No, that's the problem. You're getting bits of gossip here and there, but I need you to hear the truth from me.
What about my birth father? I don't even know his name.
Michael Sutton. You actually met him once.
Really? I don't remember.
Yeah. He wanted to see you. He thought you were Wonder. He was my vocal coach, and he swept me off my feet.
What was he like?
He was handsome, charming, smart, funny. He was everything. Until he wasn't. He left me pregnant and alone, and then things got pretty awful. Your great-grandmother, Lillian, wasn't going to have me at Cutler's Cove pregnant and unmarried, so she banished me to a place called the Meadows, where I stayed with my aunts, Charlotte and Emily.
We don't have to talk about this.
No, please, just let me finish. While I was at the Meadows, I learned about the curse that taints our family. Bad things have happened to us. Unspeakable things.
Why are you telling me this?
Because you're almost grown. And as much as I want to, I can't protect you forever. And I know it sounds crazy, but I need you to be aware and careful of your decisions.
All this doom and gloom. That's good as there's never a party.
Jimmy enters the room.
Okay, ladies, be honest. What do you think of this suit? Do I look like a monkey?
My dashing husband. Wow.
Except the tie. It's crooked.
Dawn adjusts Jimmy's tie.
Okay, you two. Go. Get the party started.
May I have the pleasure?
You may.
He takes Christy's arm and leads her out of the room. In the party room, guests watch as Christy plays piano and Dawn sings. Christy smiles at Dawn. The guests clap. Dawn leads Christy away from the piano.
Thank you, everyone. I am just so proud of my beautiful daughter, Christy. May all her dreams come true. And now her father, Jimmy, will lead her in her first dance.
Jimmy and Christy walk to the center of the room. They dance together. Dawn walks to the side of the room. Philip eyes her. Jimmy to Christy.
So proud of you.
For what? Turning 16? It's no big deal, honestly.
It's the way you carry yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Look at all you've accomplished.
Now that's a work in progress.
You'll get there.
You're a really great dad. You've always stood by me.
And I always will. You know my dad. Used to say, family together, family forever.
Philip downs his drink and approaches Dawn.
Dance with me.
Not now, Philip. My daughter is dancing with her father.
All the more reason.
Philip leads Dawn onto the dance floor. Jimmy and Christy watch.
Uh-oh.
Finally, I've got you all to myself.
Behave yourself.
Don't I always? You look as beautiful. It's the first day I set eyes.
Stop it. Betty Ann, your wife is standing right there.
My true beauty.
What's up with Uncle Philip? He's practically pawing mother.
Aunt Bets watches. She downs her drink. Then leaves the room. Dawn walks away from Philip.
I guess family really is everything. Good, Emma.
Later, Aunt Bets walks down the concrete hallway. She fidgets with keys in her hand. She enters the locked door. She walks into a dark room, then reaches for a hanging light. She pulls on the chain and turns it on. She sees a corkboard full of photos of Dawn. She finds a photo of Philip and Dawn. She takes it off the board and rips it in half. She rips more photos off the board and pushes items off a table. She leans on the table and rests her head on her fist. Nighttime at Christie's party. Bronson approaches.
Christie, congratulations. That's a beautiful party.
How are you doing?
Good. Good. That business took a bit of a hit during your grandmother's illness, but I'm reconnecting to the art world, which is keeping me busy.
Well, keeping busy is one way to not feel lonely.
Well, I could get away with anything around you, could I?
Grandma always said we were two peas in a pod.
Too stubborn to give up till we get what we want.
Patricia approaches.
All right, birthday girl, give it up!
Hi.
She hugs Christie. Bronson leaves.
So, is this the birthday party to end all birthday parties, or what?
Absolutely. My drunk uncle has fallen all over my mother, and I am waiting on my toes to see what drama unfolds next.
Hey, I hear you're quite the pianist. You know, I do know people at Juilliard.
Are you serious? I'm practicing for a showcase this summer. If I place, it'll help my chances getting in.
Oh, you have to come to New York and I'll introduce you around. And you can stay with me anytime you want.
A woman approaches Patricia.
Come, dance with me.
Two other women approach Christie.
Hi. Oh my God, aww. This party is amazing.
Yeah, my sweet 16 was at Billy Bob's Waffle House. This is unreal.
Yeah, they really went all out for this one.
The two women look back at Gavin.
Whoa. Who's that, Prince Charming?
Well, it's Gavin, that's my stepdad's brother.
So are you two an item? Because if not,
we grew up together and we started hanging out last summer.
Christie?
Ugh, Fern.
Isn't that your stepsister?
Actually, she's my step-aunt.
Happy birthday, princess.
A woman kisses Christie on the cheek.
Yes, I think everyone saw that.
Well, someone has to get this party started. You know, they wouldn't let me put ecstasy in the punch.
There's little kids here, Fern.
It was a joke. Chill out. Oh, let's go dance.
Gavin approaches Fern.
Hold on, sis. She's dancing with me.
So, what's your guys' deal? Aren't you like brother and sister? Or is it, niece and nephew? Always get it confused.
You're such a troublemaker. We're related by name only.
Fern raises her hands, then walks to the dance floor and starts dancing. Later, Gavin and Christie walk outside.
Every time I see her, she's either high or drunk.
She's had a tough time, Gav.
We all have. It's no longer an excuse. It's a problem. If I were you, I'd be careful. She's been fixating on you lately.
What?
She thinks you're the star of the family and she's not. Makes her want to take you down a notch. Given the chance, she'll ruin this night for you. Guaranteed.
Nothing's going to ruin tonight.
They stop and stare at each other.
Trisha said she knows people at Juilliard. Can you believe that?
Once you get to New York, you're gonna realize what a backward guy I am.
You don't think I know who you are?
She stares into Gavin's eyes.
I think about you every day, Gavin.
They kiss. Inside, Dawn speaks to a bartender.
Tell Arthur to grab another case of champagne from the cellar, please.
Philip.
Bring it up and we'll drink a toast.
He hands Dawn a glass of champagne.
I'd say you've had enough bubbly tonight.
Oh, we are just getting started.
Why don't you take a seat for a bit? Take a breather.
Let's go. I want to dance with you.
No, I've got a party to manage.
Come on, we'll show them how it's done.
No, Philip.
Come on.
No, let go of me. Go find your wife.
Bronson starts to walk over. Jimmy steps in front of Dawn.
You didn't hear her?
Hey, we're just...
She said no.
Hey, we're just having fun here. Right, Dawn?
Step away from my wife. Now.
Philip pats Jimmy's shoulder, then walks away. Bronson turns and walks away. Jimmy turns to Dawn and raises his eyebrows.
Your brother is a piece of work.
Mm-hmm. I could have handled that, you know.
I know. Come on, answer me.
Jimmy leads Dawn to the dance floor.
I have a party to manage.
I think you're managing it.
They dance together. The next morning, Jimmy hands Dawn a coffee in bed.
There you go.
Oh boy, I could use another day off.
That's resort life. Never off the clock.
We pulled that party off, though.
Mm-hmm.
Except for crazy families, of course.
Maybe that's what makes us so compatible.
Oh, I think it's more than that.
Do you?
Good morning, beautiful people.
Chrissy sits on their bed.
Ew.
Whoa.
Then sits between them.
Here's what I'm thinking, Christy. I think it's your last day of school.
Mm-hmm.
I think you don't need to be there. And I think you should hang out with me today.
You kidding? And miss the post-party wrap-up? That's no chance.
That's fair.
No chance.
Jimmy answers the phone.
Hello? Okay, yeah. I'll be right down.
Boiler's broken again.
The hotel guys aren't gonna have any hot water.
Don't worry, I can fix it.
You're my hero.
Jimmy kisses Dawn.
Oh my gosh, oh my god.
Then kisses okay. Christy's head. He gets up and leaves. In the concrete hallway, Philip unlocks his secret room. He looks at the torn up photos on the corkboard.
Poor Philip. Did somebody touch your pictures?
He turns to Aunt Betts and pushes her against the wall.
How did you get in here? How?
This room is a secret! Everybody sees you slobbering all over her. Dawn will never leave Jimmy for you.
He grabs her neck.
I will kill you.
She pulls his hands away.
Sure, it's me. Is it this?
Philip walks away. Holding a toolbox, Jimmy walks down the concrete hallway. Philip exits his room and notices Jimmy. He follows him. Jimmy sets down his tools and picks up a wrench. Jimmy stands in front of the boiler. Philip enters the room and takes a larger wrench from the toolbox. He enters the room. Clara walks toward the boiler room.
Philip.
She was mine. You have no idea.
Hey, stop. Take a step back.
I'm done waiting for her.
Philip, what are you doing?
Dawn's mine!
Hey, stop, Philip! Get the hell away from me, man, you're crazy!
You have no idea!
Clara listens to the altercation. Philip exits the room with a bloody head. Aunt Betts hides against the wall. Philip turns in the other direction and doesn't see her. He walks down a hallway. Aunt Betts notices gas leaking from a valve in the basement. In the hotel, Dawn approaches the concierge's desk.
Can you smell that?
Mrs. Boston approaches her.
Is that gas?
She nods.
Okay, we need to get everyone out. Start alerting the guests, get the staff to help. Jimmy's fixing the boiler.
Mrs. Boston turns to the front desk. Soon, guests exit the hotel.
Hey, Jimmy!
Dawn walks down the concrete hallway.
Jimmy!
She turns a corner and walks toward the boiler room. The door is locked. She opens it. Jimmy lies on the ground.
Jimmy?
Blood pools from his head.
Jimmy?
Dawn kneels beside him.
Jimmy, wake up.
He lifts his hand. Dawn takes it.
You're going to be okay.
I love you, Dawn.
Gas continues to leak. An explosion bursts through the hotel. Smoke plumes from the hotel. Emergency vehicles are parked outside. Christy and Jefferson approach. They run to Aunt Bet's.
Where's mom and dad?
The twins, where are the twins?
They're in the limo. Did they make it out?
Did our parents make it out, Aunt Bet's?
Aunt Bet's walks away from them.
Come on, let's go find them. Come on.
They're stopped by a firefighter.
Whoa, where are you going? No, you can't be here now.
Parents, I think they might be inside. Brett, both of them work here. Come
on,
Jefferson.
It's not safe here.
Christy!
No, up and find their
Jefferson,
parents.
It's fine. Jefferson!
Go with him.
The firefighters usher them away.
Philip?
Philip sits in an ambulance.
What happened to you? Where's mom and dad?
It was all a mistake.
What?
It wasn't my fault.
What are you saying?
I think Don's in there with him.
The hotel explodes again. Christy and Jefferson stare at it. Later, the family stands in a cemetery. A pastor speaks.
Take comfort with the knowledge James and Don died together. Embraced in their deep love for each other.
Christy sets a white rose by the gravestone.
Let the earth receive their bodies as the Creator will surely receive their souls. God bless them both.
Fern arrives with a boy, smiling. Philip falls to his knees.
To help heal us from this terrible loss, please share your remembrances with us.
Bronson.
I'm sure you're all feeling what I am right now. Losing Jimmy and Dawn is an unexpected and terrible tragedy. They were two people who lived passionately and loved fiercely each other and everyone around them, especially their children.
Christy rests her head on Jefferson. Gavin strokes her shoulder. Aunt Bet stands beside them. Later, everyone gathers for a wake. In another room, Christy plays the piano. Gavin approaches her.
You seem to be holding up.
By a thread. You should be in there.
Don't. Aunt Bet is already in there, soaking up all the sympathy. She's telling everyone that they're leaving the rental and moving in here with you. Look at it this way. Once the hotel's rebuilt, they'll move back out.
They'll never move back out. I know it.
You've got 2 years before you leave for college. You can handle that. Or you can just leave.
Me?
Sure. If you don't like it, go. You'll figure something out. I know you will.
Aunt Bet's approaches.
What are you two doing?
They turn.
You're supposed to be out there helping the guests, not in here kissing your boyfriend.
You want me to go cry in front of everyone? Is that it?
You're upset. I understand.
But you're moving into my family home without asking.
Did your uncle not speak with you? We're your legal guardians now. The lawyers are drawing up the paperwork as we speak.
I have no say in this.
Sweetheart. We had to do something. You can't live in this house with your brother alone, and we need somewhere to go, so it worked out perfectly.
Well, I want Jefferson and I to live with Bronson.
He's a very busy man, Christy. He can't take care of two kids. No, no, no. This is time for us to pull together as a family.
And you just can't have everything you want.
Aunt Betts walks away. Philip stumbles through the wake, holding a drink in his hand. Christy stares at Aunt Betts. Gavin and Christy stand on a porch.
My mother started to tell me something on my birthday about a curse looming over the Cutlers. She tried telling me, but I thought it was silly. I was more concerned about my party.
Hey, all families have their problems.
This is different. It's generational.
the fire and my parents' death. Now, Philip and his family moving in. I'm starting to believe it's real.
Fern approaches them.
I've been saying the same thing for years. You know, let's face it, we're all doomed. But the Cutlers get an extra helping. Come on. One day you'll inherit this place and be richer than a rock star. And what do I get? Huh?
Unbelievable. We just buried our brother. And all you can do is tally the scorecard between you and Christy?
Hey, if she's the princess, I'm the daughter of an ex-con.
Knock it off, Fern. This is a wake, not your personal bitch session.
How I grieve is my own business, bro. My advice, party on now before the family curse catches up to you. As recent events have shown, it's a nasty one, so your days might be numbered.
Fern smirks at Gavin, then walks away. Later, a man approaches the staircase, carrying a box of toys.
What are you doing?
He turns to Christy.
Those are Jefferson's things.
Oh, I'm sorry, Ms. Longchamp. Ms. Cutler packed these things up and told me to put them in storage.
Don't do anything. I'll be right back.
The man nods. Christy enters the bedroom. Aunt Beth stands by the window and fixes her hair. A fur is wrapped around her shoulders.
What are you doing?
She turns to Christy.
Oh my goodness, you scared me.
These belong to my mother. What are you doing with her stuff?
Just saving you the grief of going through them. I'm packing them up is all.
Well, also, apparently you're moving Jefferson out of his room?
Well, of course not. Don't be silly. It's just time that we take out his little kid books and toys. He's growing up.
Well, shouldn't that be his choice? Especially right now?
Oh, I'm sorry. Did your Uncle Philip not run this by you? He's so consumed with rebuilding the hotel, he keeps forgetting everything. I know. This has been a tough time. You lost your parents, and we lost the hotel and everything we own. But we need to support each other, you and I. I'll tell you what. I promise I will come directly to you next time. We won't even talk to Uncle Philip, okay? This is a box of her things. You can pick what you'd like to keep, and we'll just get rid of the rest.
Aunt Betts rubs Christy's shoulders, then walks away. Christy inspects the box of items. She touches necklaces lying on the bed. She picks up a journal from the box. She reads it. Later, Jefferson and Christy sit with the Cutlers at a dinner table. Philip.
Wonderful. Our first dinner together. Dig in, everyone.
He sips a glass of wine.
And how did the move go?
Well, this place was very messy. They had to disinfect everything.
A young boy.
Look how Jeffers stuffs his mouth and the way he holds a fork. He looks silly.
It's not very polite to shove food in your mouth. And you should hold your fork like this.
Is it necessary right now? Our first family dinner together.
He has to learn manners sometime. Don't worry, there's always a period of adjustment.
Raised by hillbillies, just like you said, Mother.
No, she never said that. She called them white trash.
Philip smiles.
I think you should apologize.
I never said that.
Our parents were the most wonderful people in the entire world. And nothing you say will ever change that.
Excuse us. We'll finish our dinner upstairs. Let's go, Jefferson.
Christy and Jefferson take their plates.
What I'd like to know is when you'll adjust to us, Aunt Betts. Come on, let's go.
They walk away.
I wanted you to apologize.
Why do you always side with her?
Philip sips his wine. That night, Christy plays the piano. Philip enters the room. Christy turns.
You play as beautifully as she sang.
Everything about you reminds me of your mother.
Philip sits on the piano bench beside Christy.
You are just as captivating as she was. Maybe more so.
Funny.
They turn to Aunt Betts.
Everyone says Christy looks just like me. Can you imagine? Someone even thought I was her sister. All this practicing. Didn't you miss your music event or audition or whatever?
Yes. It was the day of the funeral.
Oh, that's too bad. But didn't I hear of this school in Richmond for music? It's supposed to be amazing. Maybe you could try out and spend the rest of high school there.
And leave Jefferson? No way. It's only been 2 weeks. He hasn't been adjusting well.
I admit I've been a harsh mistress getting this house shipshape, but Jefferson's a big boy. He'll get used to us. I'm pretty sure you wouldn't want to stand in the way of your dreams.
Christy looks away from Aunt Betts. At night, Christy walks out to the cemetery. She looks down at her parents' gravestones. She turns to the sound. Philip approaches, drinking. Christy hides behind a gravestone. Philip kneels and places a rose on Dawn's grave.
Oh, Dawn, my darling, we wasted so much time playing stupid games. Please, I never meant for it to happen this way. I'll watch after Christy, I promise.
Philip stands.
I promise.
And stumbles away. Later, Philip sleeps in a chair in the living room. Christy walks through the house. She looks at Philip as she approaches the staircase.
And what do you think you're doing?
She turns to Aunt Betts.
Don't you walk away from me.
She turns back.
You snuck out, didn't you?
I went for a walk. When I can't sleep, it calms my nerves. Is that a big problem?
So you were with a boy. Just like the little tramp you are.
What?
One of us has to protect the Cutler name, and I will not have trash under my roof.
Your roof?
Yeah, my roof. You will not leave this house past 8 p.m. without my permission.
This isn't about me. This is about your drunk husband blathering on about my mother. And drive anybody.
Aunt Betts hits Christy.
Don't you ever talk to me like that again.
Philip stands and approaches.
What is going on?
Ask your wife.
Christy walks up the staircase. Later, Christy sleeps in bed. Philip opens her door and stands in the doorway. He enters the room and shuts the door.
Uncle Philip.
He sits on her bed.
I just can't have you going to be unhappy. I know Aunt Betts can be harsh sometimes, but I'll talk to her. We'll make it right.
Please go away.
We have to love and help each other despite our faults. My heart was broken when Dawn died, but now you're the only one I can talk to.
He rubs Christy's leg.
We can talk tomorrow.
Always pushing away the inevitable.
What does that mean?
You're just so much older for your age. I want to feel you under me.
Stop! Stop!
Christy gets out of bed. Stop. Philip grabs her. She knees him.
Help! Help! Christy, come back!
Christy runs to the bathroom and shuts the door.
Christy. Oh, sweetie. Come out of there. We need to talk. I meant everything I said. I only want you.
Aunt Betts listens in bed.
I only want you.
I have to get us out of here.
Later, Jefferson and Christy sneak out the front door. they run away from the house. Later, they sit on a bench together.
Why do we have to go to New York?
To meet my father.
I don't get it.
Well, Jimmy was my stepfather, and Michael Sutton is my birth father.
Why do we have to go now?
I can't stay there anymore. Do you want to live with Aunt Betts and the twins without me?
No, no, no.
Bus number 29 for New York City arriving now.
A bus pulls up to Christie and Jefferson. The sun shines over New York City. A man exits an apartment building, pulling a cart. Christie and Jefferson enter. They look up a staircase.
This place is creepy. I don't want to go.
Hey, Jeffers, can you do this for me, please? Thank you.
They walk up the stairs, then stand in front of an apartment. Christie knocks. A woman answers the door.
What do you want?
Does Michael Sutton live here?
Lessons don't start till noon.
We're not here for lessons. Is Michael Sutton here? I really need to speak to him. Please.
Hey, Michael. There's some kids here to see you.
Soon, Christie and Jefferson sit on a couch. The woman watches them. Michael steps out of a bathroom and inspects a percolator. Christie stands.
You're Michael.
He turns.
The one and only. And you are?
Christie. You look just like her. Stella.
Can you believe it? This is my daughter.
Go figure.
Stella turns away.
So, how is your mom? As beautiful as ever, I'm sure.
She and my stepdad died recently.
My God, what happened?
The resort burned down. They died in the fire.
Michael sits.
Oh, my God. I'm so sorry. I only have the best memories of your mom.
Thank you.
What a horrible, horrible tragedy. And now you and your brother are orphans?
Well, not completely.
So, what are your plans?
Well, I'm a pianist. I hope to go to Juilliard after I graduate.
Juilliard? I'm impressed. It's expensive, the tuition. But I remember your mom inheriting half the resort when her grandmother died.
Yes, that's right. I think.
Well, family can be treacherous, especially when there's money involved. You're gonna need someone to have your back. A lot of shysters out there, believe me. I played them all on stage.
Yes, I guess so. I don't think I'll see the money until I'm at least 18. Maybe even 21.
You weren't expecting to stay here. Look at this place. I can barely fit in here myself. And your mom made me sign over all my parental rights so I could get arrested for something like that.
Of course not. No, we just got off the bus and I wanted to meet you. That's all. I don't want anything from you. We're actually staying with friends. Well, right, Jeffers? Which, they're actually waiting for us, so we should probably get going. Come on, let's go, bud.
They stand.
Here, take some pocket money.
Michael holds it out.
No, that's okay, we're fine.
I'll take it.
Jefferson takes the money.
Look, New York is a rough town. It's not safe for you two. Take my advice. Go back home. Make peace with whatever brought you here. Before it's too late.
that really your dad?
He's not who I thought he was going to be. Not at all. I feel sorry for him.
Where are we gonna stay?
I have an idea, but we need to find a phone booth.
Soon they stand at a phone booth.
Hi, this is Trisha. I'm on tour in Europe right now, checking messages when I can. For work, call my agent, Jerry Reed. Otherwise, see you in September.
Christy hangs up the phone.
I'm hungry.
Christy strokes Jefferson's head.
We're gonna get some food. But I have one more call to make, okay?
Jefferson nods.
Gavin, it's me.
Christy, where are you?
I'm stuck in New York.
New York? What are you doing there? What happened between you and Philip?
Remember you said if I didn't like it there, I could leave?
Well, I did. It was a big mistake. Everything's falling apart.
What happened?
Please deposit 50 cents for the next 3 minutes.
Oh my God, I'm broke.
Where are you?
I'm outside the Port Authority in the city.
Okay, I'm coming. Don't move before I get there.
Jefferson smiles. Christy kisses his head. Later, Philip walks through the house with a drink in his hand. He takes a sip. He walks through Christy's room. He takes a dress off a hanger. Philip lifts Christy's dress to his face and smells it.
Dawn.
Aunt Betts stands in the hallway and stares. Christy and Jefferson walk through the Port Authority. Christy turns and looks at a shop that is closed. She ushers Jefferson to a bench nearby. They sit. She speaks to Jefferson on the bench. Later, Jefferson stands behind the bench, playing. He hits Christy with his stuffed rabbit. Later, he sits back down beside Christy. They lie on the bench.
Christy!
They turn to Gavin. Christy hugs Gavin. Jefferson hugs them both.
I can't believe you're here.
Neither can I. Glad to see me.
I'd be gladder with something to eat.
We'll get you a snack.
Later, Jefferson sits on the bench, eating a sandwich. On the other side of the bench, Gavin sits with Christy.
My parents have no idea where I am. I hope you have a plan, because I don't.
I had a plan, and it fell apart. Now I dragged you into this.
I'm a long champ. Trouble's a part of my DNA. But you've got to tell me why we're here.
I looked at my birth father in New York. I thought he could help us. He can't.
Philip came to my house looking for you. Why? You don't need to tell me if you're not ready to talk about it.
Look, if you're smart, you'll run away. Everything this family touches turns rotten.
Don't think like
that. It's true. Mama warned me. I can't go back there. Not now.
You're right. We need to find a safe place to stay.
There's the meadows. Could stay there till Bronson gets back. Philip will never find us.
Gavin pulls out cash from his wallet.
There's enough here to get the three of us there.
just barely.
Thank you.
Later, they all step off a bus together. They get into a taxi. They approach an old house in the country.
Did you tell them we were coming?
They walk toward it.
There's no telephone, how could I?
A man raises a rifle.
Don't move. I'll scatter you to the wind.
Luther, it's Christy, Don's daughter.
Luther lowers his rifle.
I'll be Don Cutler's daughter. She looked just like her. What y'all doing outside in the middle of the night? Where's your mama?
Can we come in?
Luther turns on a lamp inside the house.
Let there be light.
Jefferson stares.
What?
We have electricity now. You know, I'll never get over the fact I can just flip a switch and make light. Anyhow, y'all kids just make yourself comfortable. I'll go get your Aunt Charlotte.
Wow, look at this.
Definitely weird.
Portraits are defaced.
Looks like a gang of preschoolers had their way with the ancestors. I think it's cool.
Charlotte walks with Luther toward the kids.
You like it? I did it myself. These grim old folks needed some cheering up, wouldn't you say?
Jefferson nods. Charlotte looks up at Christy.
Well, there she is. Christy Longchamp.
Charlotte hugs her.
Looks like you stepped out of a movie magazine. And this must be your brother Jefferson.
Jefferson nods. She turns to Gavin.
Who's this handsome lad?
I'm Gavin.
It's nice to finally meet you.
They hug.
Welcome, all of you. Where are my manners? You've been traveling a long time. You must be starving. Is there something in the icebox for these hungry lions?
I'll see what I can find.
Jefferson turns to a portrait.
I like the horns.
Oh, thank you. I like your bunny.
Thank you.
Later, everyone sits at a table.
They found Mom and Dad in the basement.
Three candles burn.
She died trying to save him.
Oh, dear. How terribly sad for you.
Sad for all of us. Charlotte and I always wanted the best for Dawn. She had a rough time here.
There'll be no sadness here. After Emily died, we shut the door on sadness. From now on, we have nothing but fun.
Now, does anyone know you're here?
We had a tough time after the fire. After Uncle Philip and his family moved in, he started drinking full time.
Oh my. Taking after Grandpa Booth, is he?
Yeah, and Aunt Betts and the twins are so mean to me.
We needed a break, so we decided to come here. I hope that's okay.
Of course. You came to the right place. The House of Fun. Luther and I, we had our dark days too. You children stay as long as you can stand it. We have a big tomorrow, so it's time to get some sleep.
But I don't have any PJs.
We had to leave quickly.
We can go up in the attic tomorrow. There's trunks of clothes dating way back. We'll play dress up.
Later, Christy tucks Jefferson into bed.
Do you think Luther would give me a ride on the tractor?
You ask him, Mike.
I think he might. Good night.
Good night.
She turns to Gavin, who unpacks his bag on a bed beside Jefferson's.
What you did for us meant so much. I don't know what I would have done.
What are you doing? I'm pouring my heart out to you.
Your nightgown. You can wear my t-shirt.
He holds a large white t-shirt. Christy steps out of Jefferson's room. She looks at two pistols on a mantle. She picks one up. Christy looks down at the pistol. She raises it. She approaches a window and closes the curtain. A shadow walks by. At night, Christy holds up a pistol in her room. She gapes. Gavin enters.
Christy, put that down. What are you doing?
I saw someone in the window.
Gavin checks the window. He turns back to Christy.
I don't see anyone. We're all on edge. It's probably just a shadow from a branch blowing in the wind.
No, Gavin, that shadow had a face.
Okay. I'll take care of the guy.
Gavin takes the pistol from Christy.
I don't know how much more of this I can handle.
I think you can handle anything. But right now, you need to sleep.
Yeah. Yeah.
Later, Christy lies in bed. Gavin covers her with a blanket. He sits on a stool at the foot of her bed. The next day, Charlotte greets Gavin and Christy in the kitchen.
Good morning.
Where's Jeffers?
He's helping Luther feed the chickens. You two slept in late.
Yeah, I didn't sleep well. I saw one of your ghosts in my window.
That was no ghost. That was Homer.
I told you someone was out there.
Who's Homer?
Our neighbor's child. He must have seen the lights on and came to see what all the fuss was about. He likes to climb the trees and peek in. Homer practically lives here, so he's a bit protective of us.
Oh, is he okay?
Oh, heavens, yes. Our neighbors found him as a baby, abandoned in the middle of their field.
Later, they all stare at the defaced photos.
That's Georgia and Captain Booth, my mother and father. I never knew Mama. She died giving birth to me. They say she was a kind soul, but when my sister Eugenia passed on, it broke her heart.
That's really sad. What was your father like?
The captain? I barely knew him. Did you know he lost the Meadows in a poker game? When the farm fell on hard times, he gambled, and he already drank too much.
Well, he must have won it all back. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here.
It was a horse trade. He swapped your great-grandma Lillian for the farm. That's how your great-grandpa, William Cutler, married Lillian and whisked her off to Cutler's Cove.
I always said she was a tough lady. Now it makes sense.
I never knew Lillian very well. She left when I was a baby.
Charlotte turns to Christy.
Come with me. I'll show you the bad room.
She opens a door to a bedroom. a twin bed sits in a barren, narrow room. Christy enters.
This looks like a prison cell.
This is where your mama birthed you.
Flashback. Dawn lies in a bed, screaming.
Grandpa Booth locked her in here?
Hell no. He was long gone by then. It was your Aunt Emily who locked her up. I did time here too. Emily locked me up because she said the devil put a baby in my belly.
Flashback. Dawn sits up on the bed, holding a baby.
A little boy.
Christy stares at Charlotte.
I'll show you the nursery.
Charlotte leaves the room. Christy leaves, shutting the door behind her. Charlotte and Christy walk into the nursery.
There's nothing to be afraid of. Come on.
Charlotte reaches into her crib.
Take a look.
She cradles something.
When the devil took my baby, I couldn't stop crying. So Emily gave me little Ruby here. She's my baby now.
She kisses a doll on its head.
I'm sorry you lost your baby.
He had the mark of the devil on him. A goat's head. Right here.
She points to Christy's neck.
Now Ruby keeps me company. Isn't she sweet?
Yeah, she is.
You want to hold her?
Christy walks into the hallway.
There's somebody out there.
She stares out a window. Later, Christy looks into a mirror as she tries on clothes in the attic.
That looks real pretty on you.
Fits perfectly.
She turns to Charlotte.
I love the material.
They say Mama always bought the best for Lillian.
Not Emily.
No. Emily hated fancy clothes. She thought they were the devil's deception.
I can see why they didn't get along.
You pick out whatever you want. And for Jeffers and Gavin, too.
I still don't understand. Why did Lillian have my mother locked up here? Auntie.
Christy grabs Charlotte's hand.
I need to know everything.
Mind you, this is all secondhand. Lillian could not stand the sight of Dawn. She reminded her of things she preferred not to think about. You know, your mother was the child of Laura Jean, your grandmother.
Yeah, and Grandpa Randolph.
No. Bill Cutler was Dawn's father.
You mean my great-grandfather?
Yes. Lillian caught her husband in bed violating Laura Jean.
My God. His own daughter-in-law.
You're upset.
No. Yes, I'm just trying to understand all of this.
Honey, the curse goes way back to slave days. And the wrongs this family wrought on the innocent. It's divine justice, plain and simple. And high time we face up to it. Or it's gonna keep on festering.
It's better to face the truth than live in the shadows.
Amen. And only by living the gospel truth will this curse be done.
Charlotte, where are you?
It's time for tea. You go on and look around.
Charlotte walks away. She takes a leather jacket from a chair and dons it. She looks in a mirror. She turns to a man behind her. Christy stares at the man.
Homer?
He nods.
My name's Christy.
She stands and stares. Soon, Christy walks into the kitchen. Charlotte pours tea. Gavin looks up at her and smiles. Luther serves food.
Homer! Come on, meet everyone.
Nice to meet you, Homer. I'm Gavin.
Gavin shakes Homer's hand.
And this is Jefferson.
Do you know how to drive a tractor?
I reckon I do.
Can you take him for a ride?
He sure can. This boy knows his way around a farm. Let's all sit and have some tea.
All right.
They all sit at the table together. Christy notices a goat skull mark on Homer's neck. Later, Homer stands beside a tractor. Jefferson sits on the seat behind the steering wheel.
I'm getting used to farm life.
Christy to Luther.
Last week was fresh peas. Now the strawberries are ripe.
How much longer are you planning to stay?
My grandfather returns from Europe by the end of next week. But honestly, I don't know if I want to go back home. Charlotte showed me the nursery. And then I saw the birthmark on Homer's neck. And I realized that he's Charlotte's son. He's your son too, isn't he?
I've been in love with Miss Charlotte since forever. But we had to keep it quiet. Back then, there was laws against me and Charlotte being together. Miss Emily threatened to tell.
So you didn't raise him?
Luther shakes his head.
Come home one day to find Miss Charlotte besides herself with grief. I would have killed Emily if she didn't let me know where that boy had gotten to. But it was too late. A couple of weeks later, I heard about the neighbors finding a half-starved newborn out in the field.
Why didn't you go get him?
We were dirt poor, and the neighbor's farm was successful. Just made sense at the time. Now, Homer's 15 inherit the place, and he's the best farmer in the whole damn county.
How could Emily be so cruel?
The story of the meadows is like a nest of vipers. You poke around long enough, you're gonna get bit.
In the house, Luther bandages Jefferson's knee.
Yeah, cuts and scrapes happen all the time. Go. Fix you up right as rain.
It's a bad nail.
No, keep it. Remind you to be more careful next time.
Can we go back on the tractor?
Homer grins. At night, Christy and Gavin walk outside, holding hands.
Remember last summer? We'd sneak out at night.
Yeah. I remember everything.
Gavin leans in to kiss Christy. She looks up at the sky.
It's Andromeda.
Yeah. Poseidon was mad at Andromeda's mother, Cassiopeia. So he chained her to a rock in hopes that she would be eaten by a sea monster. And do you know who saved her by turning that monster into stone? It was Gavin.
No, it wasn't. It was Perseus. And by the way, I don't need saving.
Well, the point is, they fell in love, and Athena named the constellation after her.
You can't turn the monster into stone. He's still in my head.
Christy, we've been here for 3 weeks. You can't hide forever.
Bronson will be home soon, and he'll help me deal with Philip.
And what can I do?
Just be here for me.
Always.
They kiss. Soon, they walk back towards the house.
What is...
No, wait, I haven't
finished
it yet.
Stop.
I haven't finished it yet.
They spot a red car.
Philip's here.
No, it's not his car.
It's
me. I got you. Okay?
Soon, they enter the house. A man sits on the couch, across from Charlotte.
It's been such a joy having them visit. And they work so hard. Morton, have you ever worked on a farm before?
God, no.
Gavin and Christy walk behind Martin. He turns to them. Fern steps in front of them.
Where have you been, princess?
Christy walks past Fern, hitting her shoulder.
So much for a warm family reunion.
Christy speaks with Luther in the kitchen.
Who are those people?
Aunt Fern, Gavin's half-sister, and her latest boyfriend.
Seems like she's mad at the world, that one.
You think so?
I kind of got that feeling.
What feeling is that?
Fern enters the room.
The feeling that it's time for me to leave.
Luther walks past Fern and exits the room. She turns to Christy.
What are you doing here?
Uncle Philip showed up at my dorm looking for you. He even offered me money to tell him where you were. I can't say I wasn't tempted after he treated me like dirt for years. You know, it was enjoyable watching that pompous jerk beg for my help. Ugh. I took a wild guess and came here. We were on our way to Morty's beach house anyways.
You can't stay here.
I can't? I can tell Uncle Philip where you are, make a little money on the side. Or
what? I'm broke. I don't have anything to give you.
All right. Tell you what. Morty and I could use a little R&R. A day of pampering, you do what I say, and then we'll decide what I tell Uncle Philip. Plus, one more thing. Why did you run away? Hit a nerve there. I like that.
Fern turns.
Why are you doing this?
Why not? I like to watch you squirm.
She walks away. The next day, Fern lights candles. She sits in a chair. She sighs and looks up at Christy.
You're late. Yeah, here.
Christy sits across from Fern with a towel in her lap. She unfolds it.
Start with a massage.
Fern puts her bare foot in Christy's lap.
Harder, princess. Put your anger to work.
Christy massages Fern's foot.
What exactly makes Princess run from the Golden Spoon and end up at the Haunted Mansion? Uncle Philip drove all the way to my dorm when he could have just called. He was a nut for Dawn. Dawn and Christy. Christy and Dawn. Oh my God. He put the moves on you, didn't he?
Christy looks down.
I was joking. Sounds like you have good reason to be angry. You could have told me.
And trust you?
Well, that's the spirit. Get mean. Mommy's good little girl routine isn't gonna work anymore. It's a cold world out there. What's the matter, princess? Still think you're better than me?
Pink or red?
Christy smirks. Fern scoffs. Christy and Luther meet in the kitchen. He sets raw chicken on a plate.
Miss Fern ordered roast chicken for dinner. Got us all running around like a chicken with his head cut off. I guess she's got something on you, huh? Well, all this commotion working Charlotte's nerves. I don't know if she can take this anymore.
Fern said she's leaving tomorrow.
Oh, she better. I'm kicking her out.
They run to the screams. Outside, Charlotte holds her hands up to the window as Fern dangles Ruby outside of it.
Back off!
or I'll drop it.
She pretends to drop the doll.
Please give me my Ruby. You're scaring her.
Fern, stop and give her her baby.
You know what? You're right. I'm sorry. Here.
Fern holds up the baby, then tosses it to Morton. He catches it. Luther walks away.
Come and get it.
Morton taunts them. He throws the baby back up to Fern.
Hi, I'm Ruby.
Fern falls over. Soon, Homer steps out the front door, leading Fern outside.
I'm gonna take the baby. I'm gonna give her to Charlotte, okay?
Homer hands Ruby to Christy.
Call the police.
Charlotte cradles Ruby.
Homer, let her go. It's all over.
No. She's bad. She has to go.
Luther points his shotgun at Homer.
Homer, you let her go now. Jeff is just waiting for you in the barn. Now go. Go now.
Homer lets go of Fern.
You too.
Fern and Morton.
I want both of y'all out of here by tomorrow, you understand? No more nonsense.
What is wrong with you people? I told you to call the police. This guy's psycho. Morton!
Let's just get the hell out of here. Go to the beach house.
Great plan.
No!
Fern stares at Gavin.
We'll stay for dinner. And Christy will put on a concert for us. And then we'll go.
Luther lowers his shotgun and stares at Fern. Later, Christy plays the piano. Morton grins as he listens. Fern sits beside him.
That was fantastic. I am in awe.
Family money. She got lessons from the best.
No amount of money can buy that talent.
Shut up, Mort.
Have you seen Jefferson? I haven't seen him.
No.
Okay, I'm gonna go check on him.
Not so fast, Princess. I promised Morty some fun and games. One last bit of fun for the road.
I'll go.
Gavin stands. Christy's eyes dart.
Jeffers?
Jefferson lies on his bed.
Jeffers?
He doesn't move. Gavin lifts his shorts, revealing the wound from the nail. It bleeds.
You're burning up.
He checks his temperature.
Ta-da!
Looks like we lose, Princess. We both have to take off 3 pieces of clothing.
I'm not doing that.
Christy, Jefferson's burning up. He's got a wound on his leg that looks infected. We need to get him to a doctor.
No! Just give him some aspirin. We'll deal you in.
Back! Off!
Fern stares as Christy runs upstairs.
This happened on the tractor.
No. He rammed it on a rusted nail at the barn. We thought we cleaned it up all right. It might be tetanus. So watch the cousin die from it real quick.
Gavin feels Jefferson's forehead.
Tell Fern and Mort we're going to the hospital.
Soon, Gavin carries Jefferson down the stairs.
They're gone.
Luther, Gavin, and Christy get into Luther's truck. Charlotte watches them go. Luther drives Christy, Gavin, and Jefferson to the hospital. Gavin carries Jefferson toward the hospital. Christy follows. Christy takes Jefferson's toy from Luther. They run inside the hospital. Later, Gavin and Christy sit in a waiting room. Christy.
Why is this taking so long?
Gavin leans forward, looking at her.
All crazy news with Fern. I didn't even know he was hurt. Why didn't he tell me?
I broke my wrist playing football. I didn't tell my parents for a week because I promised I wouldn't get hurt.
Christy Longchamp.
Gavin and Christy stand and approach the doctor.
Your brother's responding well to the treatment. I'm hopeful he'll make a full recovery. We'll know more in a few hours.
Can I see him?
He's resting, and best you do the same.
Thank you.
He walks away.
The kid has spunk. I knew he'd pull through.
Christy stares ahead. Gavin turns. He spots Philip staring at them. He smirks. A plaque on the wall reads, "The Cutler family." Gavin's led away in handcuffs.
Christy!
Gavin!
Stop!
Philip grabs Christy.
Listen. Okay, Jefferson will be airlifted to our local hospital as soon as his fever breaks, okay? I'm just so glad that you're okay. I mean, thank God Fern called me. I mean, our whole family, we've just been worried sick. And you dragged Jefferson into this? You're lucky that I insisted you're a decent girl. Otherwise, you'd be in juvenile hall right now. Okay, but don't worry. I'll straighten this out, okay? I will. Be forgiven.
He strokes her face. She looks away.
Do not touch me. Ever.
Get in the car, or I'll make sure you never see your brother again.
They stare at each other. Later, Christy enters the house. The twins stand in front of her.
The hospital called. Jefferson died.
Christy gapes.
That's not funny, Richard. Don't listen to him. Jefferson is okay.
Aunt Betts approaches.
Are you happy now?
Christy runs up the stairs. Aunt Betts follows her.
Christy!
She grabs Christy's arm.
What you have put us through these past few weeks? Dragging our name through the mud, disappearing with Gavin, your uncle? I can barely hold my head up in town.
Aunt Betts pulls Christy's arm. Christy slaps Aunt Betts.
Don't pretend with me. The night Philip came into my room, I know you heard me screaming and you did nothing to stop it. Your own husband assaulted me and you let it happen. How are you going to hold your head up when that story gets out?
Christy slams the door to her room. Aunt Betts approaches Christy's door. Christy turns the knob, then bangs on the door.
Hey, don't lock me in!
Christy turns her back to the door and looks down. She walks across her room and kneels. She picks up a piece of her dress on the floor.
Christy?
Philip enters.
Please tell me Jefferson's okay.
He's fine. The doctor called and they're flying him in tonight. I can take you to see your brother.
He kneels beside Christy.
I'm sorry this happened. I promised Dawn I'd look after you and your brother.
Christy nods. At night, Christy walks down a staircase. She stops and stares at Philip, who holds flowers wearing a suit.
What's going on?
I wanted us to have a special night together.
Candles are lit on the table.
Where's Aunt Betts?
Oh, I sent her and the children away.
Champagne is on ice. He smirks.
I need to go to the hospital.
Philip's face falls.
Remember what you promised me? You said you'd take care of me and Jeffers. It's what Dawn wanted.
Philip smirks and sets down the flowers. He picks up the champagne flutes.
I'm so proud to be your boyfriend.
Christy gapes.
Are you out of your mind?
Well, I mean, yes. I'll admit that I'm crazy.
Uncle Philip, I need you to take me to go see Jeffers. Please, Uncle Philip. Please take me to the hospital.
I'm crazy about you, Dawn.
He strokes Christy's hair and pushes her up against the wall.
I'm not Dawn. I'm crazy.
Christine.
He leans in to kiss Christy. She knees him. He falls to the floor. She kicks him again. She keeps kicking.
Dawn.
She runs out of the house. Bronson answers his door.
Christy.
She stands outside crying.
Christy, what happened?
He stares and gapes. Christy gets out of her car. She walks toward her house. Police officers stand outside the house. She walks with Bronson. They approach the front door and turn to each other.
Are you ready for this?
No.
Look, Christy, I'm sorry. If I had known Philip was threatening you, there's no way I would have left. I would have canceled my trip. I should have been there for you and Jefferson. You and your brother will always have a home with me. I'll take care of you as long as you need me.
Thank you, Bronson.
Come here.
They hug in the house. Aunt Beth speaks with an officer.
This is outrageous. You need to leave.
Ma'am, as I explained already, we're here because there's been a complaint against Mr. Cutler about an aggravated assault.
Mr. Cutler is my husband. I can vouch for him.
I'm Bronson Alcott. This is Christy Longshamp.
Christy, can you tell me if this is the man who has assaulted you?
Philip stands.
We are going to get you through this, okay? She can't do this to us. You tell them. He was home with me. You can't trust anything she says. She's a liar like her mother.
Oh, Don, you came back to me.
Philip smiles.
You came back to me.
He's the one.
Are you certain?
Positive. He's my uncle. And he assaulted me twice in this house, and he assaulted me last night.
Oh, you can't trust anything she says.
No, tell them we love each other. Tell them I didn't hurt you. Just make this all go away and we can...
Shut up!
Aunt Beth lunges at Philip. An officer holds her back.
I'm so sick of you ruining everything! Our marriage, the hotel, the fire at the resort, all because of her!
What are you saying?
Aunt Beth turns to Bronson.
Dawn and Jimmy are dead because of him.
She's lying.
I'm not lying.
She is.
I was there. He and Jimmy got in a fight in the boiler room and Jimmy was hurt. I could smell the gas and I...
No.
Mrs. Boston said that Dawn went down to get Jimmy. And they didn't make it out, and I'm so sorry I was there.
Christy tears up.
And I did nothing.
Okay, none of this matters. None of you understand, okay? Dawn and I are in love. We're in love. She's mine forever. Nothing will ever change.
The officers lead Philip away.
We're in love, right? You're mine forever. Dawn, just tell them that we love each other, right, Dawn? We're in love.
Text. 1 year later, at the resort, Christy plays the piano. A banner above her reads, "Congratulations. Good luck at Juilliard." People in the room clap for her. She stands from behind the piano. Jefferson approaches with flowers.
Thank you.
Patricia hugs Christy.
Oh, I will see you in New York. We are going to have so much fun completely disrupting your music studies. Oh, let me take this.
Thank you.
The flowers.
I'm so proud of you.
Bronson approaches.
Marvelous. An absolute triumph. I just wish your mother was here to see you. That's what she would have wanted.
Thank you.
Bronson hugs Christy. Two girls hug Christy.
Hi. Oh my gosh. I'm so happy for you.
You're gonna do amazing. Thank you.
They all turn to Gavin, who approaches. The two girls leave.
I'm so happy for you.
How can I be so happy and sad at the same time?
We're gonna make this work. I'm here for you, Christy Longchamp.
I'm here for you. Always.
Jefferson approaches.
Hi.
Can you play one last song?
For you? Of course.
She strokes his hair. Christy returns to the piano. She places her fingers on the keys. Flashback, Christy is a young girl, playing the piano. Dawn places her hand on Christy's shoulder. She smiles. Present day, Christy smiles. Credits. Audio description by One Extra. Copyright 2023, Whispers Productions, Inc. Logo, Johnson Production Group.